Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
We are in for a good Friday here. We got some fun stuff heading your way with Bold Take Friday coming up at 10:45. We got a trivia-style game show between Curtis and Bump. Bump, you're looking for a rebound here, man. You need to get back in this. Don't let Curtis run away with this.
Rebounds.
Curtis's ego does not need another trivia win.
It's true.
First off, Curtis, you cheat. Second, Stacy, you cheat.
How dare you?
You guys are against me. Now, wow. Curtis, you cheat just because you just know more than I do about that stuff. So, Stacy,
I don't
feel
cheat.
Like this thing
sometimes
is rigged,
I make
man.
The quiz 5 minutes before the
is
quiz happens.
Is going to launch an investigation?
I am.
No, absolutely not. There's nothing wrong with my quiz questions. My games are perfect, and we're going to play that later today. We've got some fun guests coming your way. Shannon Dreher is going to join us. We're basically covering all of our bases. Will Blackman and Robert Turbin are going to talk NFL with us. Shannon Dreher is going to talk Mariners. Also, Greg Wyshynski to talk about your Kraken. Winners of 7 in a row, you guys. Did you check out all that game yesterday?
Not all of it.
But the most important parts.
Yeah, you know, I checked
overtime
in.
Overtime win.
I checked. You know, I was working.
Oh, yeah. How was Hawks Live?
It was great. At Kobe Parkinson, we had a Chinna on the line. You know what I'm saying? So It was good.
That's good. It's funny because Curtis and I were going to make it out there. But I had.
Curtis was there. His better half was there.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I would count your wife being there as you being there. I think that's kind of a cop out.
Somebody's got to watch our kid.
No, I also had things to do, so that's why I couldn't be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. The Seahawks are taking on the Rams tomorrow. Sunday. It is a very beaten up Rams team. They've had a ton of injuries on the offensive line. They're likely to be missing Matthew Stafford, who may not return this season, by the way. They're already without their top two receivers, including last year's receiving leader, Cooper Kupp. They have running backs you haven't heard of and wide receivers you haven't heard of outside of, you know, guys like Van Jefferson, who are going to be out there Sunday. So I found myself wondering whether any old win will suffice. Keep in mind, the Seahawks went into the season, Bump, with zero expectations. Now, if you were entering the season being like, this is the year the Seahawks are getting to a Super Bowl, you aren't included here. If you entered the season thinking like, man, I'll take a win over the Broncos and that's good enough for me, then you are in this group. And I'm in that group as well because I was not expecting this team to be really pushing for a playoff spot. Not only that, but looking like a pretty solid contender in the NFC. They did for about a month straight when the defense was playing well. Right now, they're just desperate for a win. Right now, you just really need a win to keep you alive. You will not be eliminated if you lose on Sunday. You are not out of the playoff picture completely if you lose on Sunday, but your odds of making the postseason drop from about 60-something percent to just 40%, which is the lowest it's been in a while. So, is just a win fine, or will it mean more to you and will you not be happy unless the Seahawks go out there and dominate a really bad Rams team right now?
I think that if we're just talking about advancement, looking good, getting a W, setting yourself up for the playoffs, I just want a W. Just get this win however you can get it. Now, for the fan in me, for the guy who is anxious and needs to see this team get better on third downs, need to see this team run the football, needs to see this team handle the run defensively and turn the football over, then yeah, they need to go out and smack these dudes, right? But I will take a win. This isn't college football to where there's a committee that's going to sit around a table and make Tennessee, Penn State, and Kansas State higher than UW and Utah.
Fired up about that still.
I really can't stand that because it's that bias that Curtis knows all too well.
Oh.
Don't get me started. Don't get him started right now.
Thankfully, this is the NFL, and stats don't mean anything. Style points mean nothing. It's all about wins and losses. So when we're talking about just setting this team up for success, go get that W. But the fan in me says, smack these dudes.
Thank you.
There's no Stafford. There's no Kupp. There's no Robinson.
No Donald.
Donald is gone. Like, there's no reason for you not to smack these dudes. So, yes, I would love to see a great performance.
Not only are all of those guys gone, but even when some of them were there, this team was really struggling. This team does one thing well, and that's defend the run, and they're not even like tops in the league there. They're like fourth or fifth in rushing yards allowed, and they're not going to have a lot of pieces there. Bobby Wagner's been a big part of that, but so is Aaron Donald and A'shaun Robinson. Both of those guys are going to be gone. So the one thing you were doing pretty well this season in your run defense is also going to be short-staffed on Sunday. Meanwhile, you're looking to get Ken Walker going. Ken Walker in the run game in general, so I'll include the offensive line, the interior of the offensive line, hasn't had a great 2 weeks. That said, it's a talented unit. I've liked the offensive line this year. I've loved what I've seen from Ken Walker. I think they're fully capable of running against even a pretty solid and really good rushing defense.
This is back on track. This is when I was playing at Culver City High School. We used to play Hamilton every year. The Hamilton Yankees. My mom went to that high school.
Oh, I thought you guys played the soundtrack to Hamilton.
Oh, love that. Love that soundtrack.
And that was our game to get right. Like, okay, every year we can count on this game. When I was at Wazoo, sorry, University of Idaho, that was our get right game. Like, all right, let's fix some things, man. Let's try some things here. This is how I see.
Let's experiment.
You know what? You know that trick play we never run? Let's do it this week against the Vandals.
Aww.
Sorry, Alyssa. No, she's a Vandal.
The disrespect.
Sorry about that. But this is how I see this game. It's like, okay, this is the game to where you can get your mojo back. I think this is still a confident team. No doubt about the Seahawks. We talk to these players all week. We listen to Pete Carroll talk. These guys know that they're a good football team, but you're only as good as your last game. In your last two games, you've taken an L. So this is the game to get right. Side note, your mom and dad just texted in the show, C-Raj.
I'm surprised Alyssa didn't. Shout out to Alyssa. I'm not slandering you right now, girl.
Sorry bump that we didn't make it. Too icy. Mama Raj, Papa Raj.
Wow.
That's love right there.
Oh, no.
I was expecting to see them. They've been, you know, they go to almost all the shows. So
yeah. I love it. Well, okay, fine. I will show up to the next one. I feel like I can't
it's
get shown up.
It's the last one.
I know. I will show up to the next one, and that's the most important one. It's the last one. It's the grand finale. Everyone loves a finale.
You also got to battle Snowflake Lane, so there's going to be.
So get there early.
That's fine. Yeah. I'll get there early. Happy to. Excited to. I will not be outdone by the Rogers clan.
Stacey getting somewhere early is not something that happens.
Okay, excuse you, Curtis. I got here early today.
Today, yes.
And I got to the VMAC early yesterday.
Congrats. That's 2 days in a row.
And there was probably a day
like
earlier.
Cal Ripken.
No, I think there was a day in November when I did get here early.
Probably.
I think there was. It feels right.
We'll check the tape.
You know how I know you're here early? When you back into your parking spot.
Oh,
like she had time
today.
So our parking lot is next to this apartment complex, and this guy one day was taking out the trash, like this older gentleman, where he's like kind of like he seems funny. Like he's just got a vibe. I don't know this man, but he's got a funny vibe. He's taking out the trash, and I am only a couple minutes late, and I pull into the parking lot. I go way too fast into my parking spot where like I pull into the parking spot, slam on the brakes. Like you can literally hear like, arr! Like it's like a cartoon. And this man turns around and goes, ma'am. I get out. I was like, I'm late. He was like, just nodded. Like I feel it. It was great. Let's hear from Geno Smith a little bit. I need to get back to the Seahawks here. There is a sense of urgency, certainly to win this game.
Obviously there's a big sense of urgency though. We have to, you know, get things going in the right direction, get some wins in that column because, you know, we're right in the thick of it right now. And so everyone's pretty much the same. No one's really changed or, you know, no panic or any frenzy or anything like that. But there's definitely a sense of urgency and guys are feeling the need to, you know, really be on it this week from a preparation standpoint and also from an execution standpoint once Sunday comes.
The Rams did just win a Super Bowl. They have a very talented head coach, very talented pieces on the roster. Yes, some of them will not be there. However, they are a good team that's just been really banged up and isn't performing well this year. You don't want to look past any team. And Geno's right. There's a sense of urgency. There's a sense of urgency because you desperately need a win. You'll take any win, no matter what. A win is a win is a win, and it most likely gets you back into the playoff picture because Washington and the Giants are going to be playing each other, so one of them's getting knocked out. However, Bump, I'm with you, where there's part of me that says, I know it was just Thanksgiving, but I'm not trying to be just grateful. I'm not trying to be like, a win is a win, it's fine, I'll take it. No, I'm going to be Veruca Salt. I'm going to say, I want it now.
You're going to be what?
From Willy Wonka, Veruca Salt, the girl that's like, I want it now.
Okay.
That's going to be me. Just a part of me is going to be that person saying, no, absolutely not. I want the defense to not allow more than like 80 yards on the ground. this run game, the expected points added per play for the run game is like the lowest in the league. Like, it genuinely hurts their offense more when they run the ball more. It is negative points added. It's just, they haven't done much of anything well this year. They haven't protected Stafford well, who's seen like twice as many pressures this year. If ever there was a game for your offensive line, or excuse me, for your edge rushers to get going, how about in this one, where Jordan Rodriguez told us yesterday they are on their 11th offensive line iteration in 11 games. Excuse me, that was against the Chiefs last week. So they have no stability on the offensive line, no production from their run game, no great production at quarterback, no real great pass catchers anymore. Nothing is keeping you from winning this. And if you're going to be a playoff team and you're going to make a push in the playoffs, I don't care if my expectations were zero. They exist now. Now I have playoff expectations and they're there, and I don't want to let go of them yet.
I feel what you're saying.
Thank you.
I feel you 100%. You want this win to be an attractive win.
Yeah.
You want the win to feel like when you walk in Zara and you see all the white and it just everything looks clean.
Zara. You always reference me and Zara.
I don't know, because you got me on. I went and bought a suit from that spot.
Zara's great.
And it was the best suit I've ever
Maybe
bought.
It's more like my, do you remember my Super Sweet 16?
Yes.
Curtis, you remember this show?
Who could forget it?
Well, maybe people slightly younger than us. My Super Sweet 16, how I feel is when the girl would walk outside, her parents, every episode, they get the car and she's like, this is the BMW.
I wanted a Mercedes.
That's how I feel right now. Just like a spoiled brat being like, no, I wanted a 15-point win or 14-point win, two-score win. This is only a touchdown win. But so, I don't care.
And I'm with you. I want to feel secure about this team, right? I want to feel like this team is headed in the right direction. And a 14-point win, a 15-point win will make you feel that. Geno not turning the football over will make you feel that. This defense stopping the run will make you feel that. End of the day, I'll just take a win, though. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard to win in this league. And I'm trying to look at teams that aren't very good. I'm like, well, this team has won a couple games. I'm looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. They just beat Baltimore. Right? Mm-hmm. Now let me look at a different team.
In a crazy wild way, great fourth quarter from Trevor Lawrence, 2-point conversion.
No one's going to remember that. They're just going to see the W and say,
I'll never forget it.
They beat Baltimore. And let's look at the Detroit Lions. They beat the 7-3 New York Football Giants. So I just say that to say I will take a win. It's hard to get wins in this league, but I love me some style points. It'd be nice to be in the fourth quarter and to not have to take extensive notes on this game because it's close and every single play has a huge effect on the game. It'd be nice just to sit back and be like, we got this in the bag. Let's get ready for the postgame show.
How about this? I will not under any circumstances complain about a win. A win keeps you alive. I mean, a loss, you're still alive, but a win keeps you alive. It ups your playoff percentages. A win also probably puts you back in the playoff picture, at least for right now, which isn't static. It's subject to change, but you are at least back in a wild card spot with a win. However, if it is a win and they allow like a season high in rushing yards for the Rams, you know what I mean? Yeah, they allow the Rams to have their very best game. I will be concerned.
Yeah.
If Ken Walker doesn't go out and get 100 yards, okay, fine. I'm not worried about that. If Geno throws a pick, I'm not worried about that. If they allow a ton of rushing yards from a team that has been one of the worst offenses, I mean like 31st in total offense and I think 31st in the run. Only the Texans are worse. If you allow that team to run all over you, I'm allowed to be concerned.
Yeah, for sure. You don't want a team to do something that they're not good at.
No.
And to do it to you. I completely agree with that. So, yeah, I think we're on the same page.
Yeah. A win is a win, but no, actually, I take it back. Some wins are better.
You want a BCS win. You want a, I got to blow this team out to make sure I get into the Rose Bowl type
of
win.
Exactly what I it feel is. You. I want to impress the committee. I would like to impress the NFL playoff committee with this win. I think it is very important the Seahawks do that.
Is Condoleezza on this thing, too?
All right, it's a Snoqualmie Casino Football Friday on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Speaking of this win, knock on wood, between the Seahawks and Rams. We're going bold take Friday at 10:45. So Bump and I are going to do a little bit of a preview in 15 minutes. At 10:45, we're turning it over to you guys for your boldest takes. So you have a good 30 minutes to think of them. You can send them in anytime, 866-979-3776. I'm going to be collecting them, but you have until about 45 or 50 after to get those in. Right now, let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
We must make headlines.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Bump and Stacey.
A thriller at Climate Pledge last night.
Yes.
The Kraken with their seventh straight victory coming on this Matty Beniers breakaway goal to start overtime.
And here you are. You got a point, and now you got a chance to get it to seven in a row.
A troika for Dave Hextall is Beniers, Burakovsky. Beniers moves in, scores!
Kid's good. What's the real headline?
I don't know yet if the Kraken are for real, but Matty Beniers sure is.
You don't know if they're for real? You're not buying?
No, I am. I think they're going to be a playoff team. I'm just nervous, right? I feel like maybe I don't know enough about hockey to feel so sure
right. And
cemented in my opinion, other than like they're really fun to watch. But sometimes you just aren't totally sure. They're only a year removed from being a new expansion team, but the only thing I am convinced about, I am completely convinced, no doubt in my mind, Matty Beniers is special.
Well, I got inside information for you.
Oh.
I sit around and share a couple beverages with my older hockey fellas at the Moonshine. And
yeah.
they tell me all their stories.
Okay.
And they're referees in adult leagues now. And they're telling me these guys are for real. So I'm going to go with my buddies with missing teeth and bad backs.
That's how you know they were good.
And I'm going to ride with them. And they say they're for real. So I'm on it. Let's go, Kraken.
I'm gonna be for real. When you said I've got some inside information, I thought it would be Matty Beniers gossip.
Nah.
Curtis, did you think? I thought it would be
I would love something.
I would.
That.
You and me love
Who's
gossip.
Who's he dating in town?
Next up.
Kraken, though, only 2 points behind Vegas for the Pacific Division lead, and they've played two less games than Vegas. So, I mean, Golden Knights shaking in their chainmail with the Kraken.
More like good night, Golden Knights.
Ooh, bars.
It's, All right. It's not bad. It's not my best. It's not my worst.
Let's get to number two.
Headline rewrites.
Headline number two, Pac-12 championship game tonight. USC taking on Utah. What's the real headline?
Huskies fans rooting for the Trojans.
What's the real headline? I'm supposed to be there, but my family's sick, so I got to stay home. That's the real headline.
Everyone's sick. Everybody is sick. The entire Seahawks locker room is sick.
Except for me.
You just keep dodging it like the Matrix.
Yeah, I'm just
Neo.
Ducking and dodging. Bobbing and weaving. But USC should get this done. And I hope they get it done. Everyone should be rooting for USC, even the Huskies, obviously, because they get into the Rose Bowl if USC wins this game. But we want to send a reminder to the country before USC and UCLA leaves us. The Pac-12 is for real. We are the strongest conference in the country right now, SEC. Know that. Believe that.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Headline rewrites.
That's all I got.
All right.
Headline number three. We got some breakfast soccer tomorrow at 7 a.m. as the United States takes on Netherlands in World Cup knockout play. What's the real headline?
And I better not see any Stroop waffle on your plate.
Don't do it.
I'm going to be heated.
Can I make a confession?
Uh-huh.
I had to Google what that was.
Stroop waffles?
Yeah.
They look delicious.
Yeah.
It's great.
I've actually never had one.
Looks pretty
and
good.
And I won't anytime soon.
No.
Someone really said good. We should call Dutch ovens, freedom ovens right now.
I like that.
All right.
You're not allowed to use anything Dutch, Holland,
Dutch.
Netherlands.
I like
don't
it.
Don't go on a Holland America cruise.
Nope. Don't mention Amsterdam. Don't even be fans of
windmills. There's a lot of windmills.
Honestly, I'm very anti-wind power right now.
You're anti-efficient energy sources?
Yeah, for the next several days, I am pro-coal, like I have always.
Dang.
Do we think Christian Pulisic plays?
Oh, he plays.
Yeah.
He'll at least give it a go. He'll give it a go.
That is not an injury that's easy to come back.
According to Christian Pulisic, it was not an injury at all there. It was just a classic pelvic contusion.
Just your run-of-the-mill pelvic contusion.
I would not say that I didn't hurt that sensitive area.
I would say, yeah,
I would be like, yeah, I did. I did it for America. I'd do it again. Yeah. Absolutely, 1,000%. You're a hero.
Sully, I'll be up watching the game. You're not going to be up watching the game.
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. I'm going to text both of you when I wake up.
No.
6:55.
We need a FaceTime. I need a text. You can just text and go back to sleep. I need a FaceTime.
I will be sitting in front of your television. Watching this game. Mark my words. I cannot wait to see Team USA take the Netherlands.
7 a.m. on a Saturday.
Back to where they belong. You know what? Send them packing back on their Holland Express, whatever airlines, and their beautiful airport. Send them back home. I'm just going to mix up all these like European things. Send them back to IKEA.
What? Stacey's going to catch the replay. I know. FS1.
No, I will not. Nope.
Definitely.
Nope. I am going to be up watching it bright and early, like the patriot that I am.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. You can tell yourself.
Are you going to be up, Curtis?
Probably. Willow wakes up at like 6:30, 7 a.m. anyway.
That's because she's a huge Team USA fan. We all know why.
She's got her jersey.
I know.
She's ready.
I know. We are taking your bold takes at 10:45. So get those sent in now to the Mac and Jack's text line. That number, 866-979-3776. Bump, do you have your bold take ready?
I stay ready, so I ain't got to get ready.
Scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the boldest take you've ever had. Where is it?
7, 8.
Bump, you're supposed to say an 11. I need people to tune in at 10:45.
11.
It's an 11. Oh, my God. You better tune in at 10:45. Bold Take Friday coming up at 10:45. First, though, we're going to jump back into Week 13, tell you what we're watching for. That's coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
Bold Take Friday coming up in 15. Get your takes in now, your predictions. That's what they are. They are your boldest predictions for Seahawks, Rams, 866-979-3776. You know what I'm really upset about? I said that Bump would be able to have some really, really bold takes. And, here's what I said. I said, Bump, how bold is your take 1 to 10? You said, 7. And I said, Bump.
Is that how I sound?
Yeah. Well, 7. I said, Bump, absolutely not. We are trying to get people to listen at 10:45 to listen to this bold prediction. Mm-hmm. And so you said, okay, it's an 11. And Homer in Alaska on the 360, everyone get ready for Stacy's cold bologna mayo sandwich takes. That's so rude. I don't like that this show becomes just clowning on me all the time. And then Curtis just laughing to himself while he looks at the text line. Shame on you, Homer.
Thank you, Homer.
Let's talk about what we're watching for in Week 13. We talked about whether all wins are created equal. I think we settled on, no, it's not that we aren't going to be grateful for a win. But a really dominant win might feel good.
Yeah.
Let's break it down a little bit more. We can get into some X's and O's, specific players we're watching for. I'll get us started. What we're watching for in Week 13, how about just a good game from Ken Walker? Not a lot of rookie mistakes. And I say this knowing that he had 2 touchdowns last week, but why did it not feel like a great game?
Because my man's didn't have a lot of yards on the ground. And I think we talked about it earlier in the week. I'd prefer 100 yards and 1 touchdown.
1,000%.
Over a 2-score game, but only, 20-something yards.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have 100 yards, you're moving the football, you're probably good on third downs, you're making the defense respect the run. That's what happened late in the game. They're like, we got the run sewn up. We don't have to respect it. We're just going to get after the quarterback and do what we do. So, yes, Ken Walker, this young man needs to get going. He will get going, but you got to point at that offensive line, too. It's not just him. Now, there's some things he can do better, but the offensive line probably had one of their not-so-good days of the year.
Yeah, they didn't sound especially happy about it, right? All those guys, Austin Blythe. Like, then you had, obviously, on not the interior of the offensive line, Abe Lucas joined us. He was, like, sick as a dog in that game. I'm not making excuses, but I am saying that, like, I think there is reason to think they can improve in this one. Okay, so I am watching for Ken Walker. Let's talk about what else we're watching for in Week 13. Who or what matchup do you have your eyes on?
Of course, you got to go DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, 1,000%.
You got to see what's going on there, man. Those guys have been battling for years now, and they're both talkers, right? They both like to get at each other, try to get on each other's skin. That's all part of their game. And as of late, I want to say DK has won the battle. The last two games, he has 11 receptions, about 150 yards, and two touchdowns, DK Metcalf, against Jalen Ramsey and the Rams. And Jalen is a prideful person. We know that. He's a DB, first of all. Like, DBs talk the most trash out of anybody in this league. And he sees this as a challenge, and he's going to step up to the challenge. So I want to see how DK handles himself, because DK will talk to you. Mm-hmm. He will let you know when he does something good. He will block you to the sideline. He will do everything he can to get underneath your skin. So I want to see how it looks against number five.
I've got a weird one here. What I'm watching for is going to be on the final stat sheet after the game, which is a zero in the column that is fumbles and interceptions. I don't imagine the Seahawks as a fumble or interception prone team, a turnover prone team. They have a positive turnover differential. The Rams have a negative seven turnover differential. They've struggled to getting a ton of takeaways, and they also turn the ball over. John Boyle on with us the other day had this wild stat, which is that, what, in all but one game, the Seahawks have had some kind of turnover on offense?
Which is crazy. I had no idea.
No, because I think of them, I think of Geno as protecting the football. I think of this offense as having been one of the better parts of this team all year long. And not only that, but pretty consistent all year long. Outside of a, you know, pretty bad game against San Francisco and not a great three quarters against Tampa Bay, there hasn't been a game where I left it thinking this offense is a huge problem.
No, not at all. I mean, San Francisco, maybe. Week two, I believe that was. Yeah, when they lost 27-7. But even in that game, Geno played okay. He was 24-30, 197, but did have one interception. Like, no, we've never left the game thinking, what are we going to do about this offense?
Yeah.
And that's what
he
we
stopped
thought.
Losing the ball, guys.
That's what we thought we were going to be saying. We thought we'd be leaning on this defense and then having the offense try to figure out. But it's been... it's been vice versa. Roles have been reversed. And then there's been times where the defense has just been lights out for 4 weeks and then times where they haven't been. So we're just looking for a bit of consistency. But one thing that I think we can count on is that the offense is going to put up points.
Yes, they're going to put up points for sure. They've averaged more points this year than they have in the last several years. They may still be first in the league. For a while, they were first in the league in first quarter scoring and something like third in first half scoring, which is... funny, considering how much Russell Wilson wanted to make sure they scored early and were a little more aggressive. They've been not wasting any time finding the end zone in these games. Would love for them to be able to do that against the Rams, and would love for them to do that over four quarters against the Rams without turning the ball over. What else are you watching for?
I'm watching for, I want to see the pressure that these guys can get on this quarterback, whoever it is, Perkins, Wolford, doesn't matter. Neither of these guys are Matthew Stafford. Neither of these guys should be able to beat you, even though we saw Wolford come in here last year and lead the charge before us. Who was it? Not last year. A couple years ago. Jared Goff was here. So I want to see if they can get pressure on these quarterbacks, because I'm watching film and there's nothing special about these two quarterbacks. Granted, I'm not hating on nobody in the NFL. You're in the NFL for a reason.
Bob.
You're better than the guys who play at Juanita High School Flag Football League, right? But... you're not one of the elite. You know, you're not even they're not even a Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, they're not a Kyler Murray. They're not one of these other quarterbacks in this division that you legit have the game plan for. So I just want to see them fluster these dudes. I watched the film on Perkins, and he looks like a young quarterback. His footwork is slow. His meshes are slow. He forgets to run out the play fake at times. He runs high. He doesn't get his shoulders down when he runs the football. There are little things where you put on film and you say, okay, these guys are young. Can they be good football players? Of course, everyone has potential. But at this point, these are young quarterbacks. Make them look young.
I will say that even when Matthew Stafford was out there this year and he had Cooper Kupp, he was still seeing a lot more pressures. This offensive line has been really, really banged up. And outside of that, just for one reason or another, just because sometimes it happens, they've really struggled with containing the pass rush from opponents. And Matthew Stafford has been feeling the consequences of that when he's been out there. Right now he's not. So that's a great quarterback who's out there feeling all that pressure. What's going to happen when it's a guy who doesn't have a lot of starting experience or, you know what I mean, hasn't seen a ton of that before? Yes, I am watching the pass rush. We're watching Ken Walker. We're watching the matchup between DK and Jalen, and we're watching to see if the Seahawks can protect the football and get a few takeaways on the other side. In terms of what else we're watching for, hear me out. This is a wild one. I'm watching for Sean McVay to hit a player, you know, in the face with his headset.
Hit a player in the face?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. That's not really what I'm
looking
for.
I'm looking to see what Bobby does, man. And Bobby is having a good season statistically, 90 tackles. He's played every single snap for this defense. And I want to see, one, it's going to be weird seeing him wearing 45. I still can't get that into my head.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah. I just want to see what his production looks like. Because honestly, you know, obviously I don't watch all of the Rams games, right? Only time I really watch an opponent's game is if I'm prepping for them to play the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. So this week is the first time I've really sat down and broken down film. And he's a bit slower, but he's still a good football player. He's playing every snap. He's in his 30s, so I want to see how that body holds up. And then I just want to see his interaction with the players, too. I mean, because there's a lot of guys on this team who were on the team last year when Bobby was on. I want to see what their interactions are like. But I want to see if Bobby is as good as PFF has him. They have him as, like, the best linebacker in the league right now.
Yeah, best interior guy, yeah. Which is surprising.
Yeah. So, see if it's real.
I have a weird question. I only saved us, a minute for this. But I am not saying that the Seahawks shouldn't have released Wagner. He was a very important part of this team. He was getting paid a lot of money at the time. You thought you were rebuilding. You were like, look, if we're not going to have Russ, then we're not going to pay, you know, $10, $12 million to this guy. I understood it at the time financially. So that's not what I'm excusing. But do you think this Seahawks team would have at least one more win if Bobby was here?
I don't think a middle linebacker affects the game like that. I think they'd be right where they are now, honestly. If we're talking like units, like offensive line, secondary, quarterback is the only position that can really affect a season in that manner.
I don't know.
I think I go with units. O-line, D-line, running backs, DBs. Units affect the game.
Yes.
I think quarterbacks individually can affect the game.
Completely agree. I think, though, if they had like one great edge rusher, they'd have an extra win. Is that a stretch?
No, not a stretch.
Because I think that it would just, the thing with edge rushers is that group works as a unit. Every great player you add makes every other player better around him because he takes attention away.
No, I can get with that.
Yeah.
I can get with that.
You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if like one extra receiver makes a difference or whatever, but something about feeling like if you had Nick Bosa out there, if you had one of another, TJ Watt hasn't been healthy, but you know what I mean? A guy that can be a game wrecker, mm-hmm. Max Crosby. I feel like that would be, because I feel like your pass rush has been.
It's been all right.
It's been okay. It had a stretch when it was great, when Uchenna-Nwosu was like game wrecker, but he doesn't have enough help. So I think that would make a difference. But all right, guys, we are going to Bold Take Friday, and we need your bold takes. Get them sent in 866-979-3776. It's coming your way next.
It's time for Bold Take Friday.
It is Bold Take Friday. Get your boldest, spiciest takes in for Seahawks Rams. You're texting them now to the Mac and Jacks text line, 866-979-3776. I will say, some of these have been right this year. Some of them have been right, which always blows my mind, but sometimes they are. So let's get started. Bump, you have yours. I'm going to go with a couple listeners' bold takes.
Yeah.
And then the point of this is it'll continues our preview where you react to the bold takes. Then you've got yours, and then I'll get back to some listener bold takes. So let's get started. Bold take. I forgot to mention the best part of Bold Take Friday is that if Curtis thinks a take is bold enough, you hear this. And if he doesn't think your take is bold at all, you hear this. Silence. Just silence.
It's a cold bologna take.
Disappointed. Very, okay.
Cold bologna sandwich.
First of all, you guys need to stop. Listeners have been saying I have horrible bold takes, and not only that, but that I'm absolutely not going to wake up tomorrow. Someone said, here's a not very bold take. Stacey goes out tonight and sleeps right through her alarm tomorrow morning. That's not a bold take. It's not because it's not going to happen. Actually, it is a bold take.
It's not bold because it's real.
No. I am waking up to watch Team USA because I am a Patriot and I am a soccer fan, and I am waking up to watch Team USA.
I think only one of those things.
Beat Netherlands and send them right back home.
The way you said I'm a soccer fan, it just wasn't
and
convincing.
And I am a soccer fan. Bold take. The Seahawks will hold the Rams to less than 50 rushing yards and pitch a shutty. Mm. Okay, Curtis likes it. Bump, what do you think?
First off, I just want to say to all you shutty haters, shut it.
Keep hating.
Ah, I got him.
You got him, man. You got
bars.
Him. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's possible. It should be possible, right? You got the young running back from Notre Dame over there for the Rams, and you also have Cam Akers, who hasn't done much this year. He left the team. He's back on the team. They get rid of Henderson. That run game is in shambles over there. Mm-hmm. So I think that is possible. Now, pitching to Shuddy, that's tough to do. They haven't been shut out all year, these Los Angeles Rams.
No, but they're also averaging, aren't they averaging like 14 points a game? I may not be giving them enough credit.
It's not good. But I just know how tough it is to shut out a team in the NFL. Like, you get to the 40-yard line, you can kick a field goal. So I think half of this is true. I think they'll put up at least 6 points.
Do you think their chances of a Shuddy increase if it's Bryce Perkins over John Wofford?
Good question.
That is a good question. Not a great one, Curtis, but a good one. Right. I think it does increase if Perkins plays. Perkins, okay. He looks discombobulated at times out there.
Bold take. Kobe Bryant sets the NFL single game record for interceptions. To be fair, it is very bold. Very bold. If I were to ask either of you what's the single game record for interceptions, would you know?
No. I'd say it's three or four.
I think it's four.
It is four. What surprised me is how many people have had four interceptions.
How many?
Well, this initially said 12. I clicked on the leaderboard. There's like 15 people that have had four interceptions in a game.
Sheesh.
I mean, some of them are from like pre-modern football, like 1950. Okay, I mean, the quarterback was probably taking smoke breaks between drives. I don't know what I mean?
I'm Monday through Friday job was working at the steel mill.
Yeah, yeah. But a couple other, I mean, if at one point you reach two interceptions, just
stop looking his way.
Don't even look his way. Three interceptions, you have more interceptions than probably anyone on that team is going to have touchdowns. Four interceptions in a game.
That's stubborn. You're just stubborn. I want to know the quarterbacks who threw the four interceptions to these players. That might tell you a lot. Because there might be some dudes that we just don't know, too.
Yeah.
So they're not in the league anymore.
Probably like Nathan Peterman, one of them.
Well, I'm looking it up right now.
Peterman stayed with a job, man.
Yeah, he's with the Bears.
Goodness gracious.
Nearly got the start last week. I think Trevor Siemian got the start.
It will not shock you to know that one of these players.
Brett Favre.
Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Brett Favre ain't on that list?
I don't know if Brett Favre is, because it's sorted by the defensive player. So, like, D'Angelo Hall's at the top. D'Angelo Hall had four interceptions against Jay Cutler.
Wow.
Yeah. Tough stuff, Jay.
Yeah.
All right. Next bold take here. Bold take. Tyler Lockett will have over 100 yards receiving and two touchdowns. Okay. I think that's actually bold. Sometimes he has quiet games.
He'll have 0 yards after the catch.
Curtis.
Because that's Tyler Lockett's. That's his MO these days.
That's a heck of a game if he has no yak. Hundo, two tutties. That's a hell of a game.
That's a couple of long receptions.
You're right. Yeah, that's exactly what that is. Bold take. This one is more picks. Not four, though. Bold take. Tariq Woolen gets not only his record-setting pick, that would be pick number 6 on the season, but also a second pick this weekend, 2 interceptions for Tariq Woolen.
Very possible.
All these are pretty bold.
Very possible with the quarterback situation on over there and the receiver situation. Very possible.
Bold take Friday from the 360. The Seahawks managed to beat LA's JV squad. Ouch, 27-13. Oh, he's got score predictions. Mm. They hold Cam Akers to under 150 yards. I would hope so.
150?
That should have said 15. K9 goes off for 123 and a touchdown, while DK mosses Ramsey on a 43-yard fade route for a touchdown.
That's a long, long bullshit.
Can you imagine if it ends up happening?
And then, in post-game, in the interview, Geno Smith...
Wearing green.
Yeah.
Says,
we played really well out there.
What do you think about any kind of like score discrepancies? You think at least two scores is pretty safe?
Yeah, it's got to be two scores. I feel good with two scores. Yeah.
They're 7-point favorites on the road.
Which means you're kind of 10-point favorites.
Yeah. Like, that's... You don't see that kind of spread for a road team hardly ever in the NFL.
No. Yeah.
Although... If it's anything like the Chargers crowd earlier this season in the same stadium, like, it's going to be Seattle South, right? I think there's going to be a large presence of Seahawks fans.
There should be
in attendance.
We travel well, especially West Coast.
We talked earlier this week about the Rams asking their season ticket holders to give away their tickets to
so
people
so that there
who
wouldn't
attend.
Be empty seats for Christmas. Yeah. Bump, what's your bold take?
My bold take,
Curtis, don't worry about hovering over the horn. I think it's going to be okay.
Dang. My bold take is Uchenna has 3 sacks against Perkins.
3 sacks?
3.
Pretty good.
He's had 2 sack games.
You said it was an 11 out of 10.
It was.
It's been a while since Uchenna's gotten after it, too. I think he's gotten 2 games in a row now without a sack.
I have my bold take now.
Okay.
The Seahawks, as a team, will have...
You're just making this up right now.
7 sacks.
You're just making this up.
Stupid. All right, you can listen to us anytime and check back on the rest of the show if you miss any of it by subscribing to the Bump and Stacey podcast. That's wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. Please rate and review if you do subscribe. I've been checking them routinely to look for ones because you said, Bump, I don't care if you insult us the entire time. If you leave 5 stars, I'll take it. So I've been checking back onto our podcast page to see if someone's like, honestly, I like personally hate these two. I don't know why 5 stars.
Rate us 5 stars.
5 stars. All right. It's Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. We've spent far too much time into this show not talking about the Kraken. So let's get to it with ESPN's Greg Wyshynski. He joins us next.